All right. Hey, everybody. Let's see. Let's play a song to start, shall we? Hey, Jay. Let's see. Okay. Oh, that's where I was looking up the pineal gland. Here's what I want to play, though. And it is pineal, not pituitary, by the way. It's they're saying it has something to do with the third eye. But anyway, here's the here's what we're going to. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to try with this again. Funny. I don't know where those lines are, but they don't seem to be in the right place. Anyway, here it is.
Thank you.
well. So that's a song that came in this morning. I got a big kick out of the end of that song being "Row, row, row your boat." Because in fact, in the last that was yesterday's journaling, I typed "row, row, row your boat." I didn't recall that being in that song, so that was fun. Actually, what struck me when that song was picked, I thought I heard strains of Alexi Murdoch in my when I asked what I should play, and so I just pulled up the first song that was on. I actually have some of that on my computer, but my version's like 8 minutes long. That's too long. So I went to YouTube and got their version. But the first thing that struck me that it's talking about home. And, you know, when do you get to go home? Go home. First you have to go walking on your own. I mean, it's they're good lyrics. And Alexi Murdoch has lots of good lyrics. It's, he's contemplating, he's meditating, he's doing something right. but the, yeah, gee, I didn't know that I would talk about this today. I say that a lot. The name of the song Home is interesting because, well, right now I'm considering changing my home. Yeah. And it's interesting because, I first looked at a place right there in La Vida, real close to everybody. Like Jay told me this morning, it's four houses down. And then I looked at a place a little bit further away, closer to Walsenburg. And I am obsessed with this place. And I don't want to be obsessed with it, but I am. I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Should I look? Can I look? What, 400 other people like it? Oh, my God, oh, my God. It's like, I don't need that. I don't need a distraction like that, you know? But it's funny. The other place is just staying right here in my. So I don't know what to do with that, but that's my confession. So I'm going to call the realtor and probably look at it next weekend if it's still there. But both places. So anyway, thanks for letting me share that. Well, and in fact, now that I've shared those two things about, they both seem to be on point with this, the last journal entry I had, which was yesterday. So I think I'm going to start with the last one first and see if it provides any clarity. Yeah, and these things seem to be centered around the Course in Miracles lessons, since that's what I'm contemplating in the mornings. This says, God is the strength in which I trust. And I said Regina spoke about, and I'm talking about Regina's original year one tip, Regina spoke about the willingness to live in the mystery rather than relying on my own illusory strength. This reminder really resonated with me. What would you share with me on this subject? And then I think I decided that might be a little too narrow. So I said, I am, of course, open to whatever you would share with me on this day. But the response. The response really addresses an issue that I have been, what's really been on the top, not the house, but what's really been in the forefront for me these days, and it's this. It says, this advice does indeed mesh with your desire to let go of identification with the non-existent character you have taken yourself to be. And again, that's what Regina was talking about in her program just a moment ago. And I really appreciated, you know, I've been asking, I seem to get that on a deeper and deeper level. And yet it's still like, but how do I jump that hurdle? You know, how do I do this? How do I come to that realization? you know, what's blocking me from really seeing that. I mean, intellectually, sure, I've been preaching that for 2 years, but it's coming more into my experience. But you know, I want to just hurry it along a little bit, which I think is might be part of the problem. I mean, it's certainly a testament to my desire, but who wants to hurry it along, right? Okay, so again, Regina spoke about the willingness to live in the mystery. And Inner Wisdom says, this advice does indeed mesh with your desire to let go of identification with the non-existent character you have taken yourself to be. We phrase this precisely so that you will remember that the character does not exist. The character you have taken yourself to be. The non-existent character you have taken yourself to be. We phrase this precisely so that you will remember that the character does not exist. It is merely a collection of habitual thoughts you like to think because it seems to give your life continuity. As you can see, this grasping for continuity, I was reading the next sentence. Put two words together. Let me try it again. As you can see, this grasping for continuity is antithetical to living in the mystery. Grasping for continuity is antithetical to living in the mystery. It is the setup from which all struggle follows. Row, row, row your boat. It's the next thing that came in. Oh, the whole line came in, but I only typed the first part there. Yeah, and I talked about this a little bit last week. It's that it really is that continuity that disrupts my awareness of the flow of life. You know, we talked about it last week in terms of the quantum field and this thing that the mind does and tries to snatch from the potentiality for all things, to snatch some kind of security from that and bring it down and collapse it down into the non-existent self I like to think of myself as. And, you know, where's this non-existent self going to live tomorrow? You know, what's that going to look like? Let me figure out the mortgage on that. Yeah, again, it's like Regina was talking about a moment ago. That's an outward focus. Even though it seems like I'm focused on myself, if I'm focused on those thoughts about that self, that seemingly continuous entity, you know, that I've known for 54 years, supposedly, you know, and then I want to push that self into the future. I mean, that's the continuity that I'm trying, you know, that's what makes me feel secure. And then, you know, there's so much more pulled into it as well, because and this gets back to the original thing of wanting to move beyond this sense of self. I want to pull in. So now that I've got a new, not a new, but spiritual lexicon, then now I want to, or frame of reference, I want to pull this into, I don't want to just let it be. I want to go, am I doing this right according to what, you know, the masters have told us? It's just a failure to let it be. to really live in the I don't know, to really live in the mystery. You know, we've been looking in General Healing Year One. We were just looking at Acts, where it talked about, where Holy Spirit talked about revealing things to you one step at a time. And Holy Spirit said the reason Holy Spirit does that is because if you didn't just get it one step at a time, you'd want to jump ahead and you miss what you need to learn on the way. And somehow that jumping ahead is attempting to take that continuity with me. So like Paul Hederman talks about, who wants to be free of the self? The self. You know, who wants to be free of the illusory self? He talks about how absurd the whole spiritual culture has gotten because the illusory self is trying to escape from the illusory self. And what Paul Hederman says on this topic is how do you escape from an illusory prison? By realizing you were never in it. What we want to do is we want to set that up as real. And, you know, it's the Course talks about this in terms of forgiveness. You want to set it up as real and then back out of it. but there's no need to do that. And it strikes me that the way to do that, do what Paul Hederman's talking about, is essentially, and what Eshwar Zigobin's talking about, and what Regina's talking about, is to do what Regina's talking about, is begin to have that experience, begin to notice what's here all the time, begin to notice what's constant. You know, awareness has a natural continuity. I don't have to cobble this together by thinking of Jacqueline in the past and Jacqueline in the future. What's always here right now? And I thought that a while ago, frankly, when Regina was talking about the characteristics of awareness. She said it's present, well, whatever the other things were, she said. yes, present and open, yes. But it occurred to me that it was continuous. It seems like, and I heard her talking about Muji asked, does it have a beginning and an end? And her honest answer from her direct experience was, I don't know. I know it's here right now. But I certainly know for my limited time on this earth that it's always been present, that it's continuous, that it's not something I have to worry about being there tomorrow. Excuse me. let me put that on my phone on silent. Cheryl, was that something I needed to know right away? That was a text from you. No. Okay. I thought it was a text from Cheryl. Okay. Anyway, sorry.
It was. She's just telling us Francine's on her way to La Vida.
Okay. Woohoo! Now you know. Now I know. Good. Yeah, good. We'll have our mini retreat tomorrow. I'm excited about it. So again, Inner Wisdom says, as you can see, this grasping for continuity is antithetical to living in the mystery. It is the setup from which all struggle follows. Row, row, row your boat. Right? I mean, life is a stream. Gently down the stream. And to take a position that I am, that I need something this way. To take a position is counter to floating down the stream. It's counter to living in the mystery. In fact, it seems like I was looking at something that I had written earlier with Inner Wisdom the other day about, oh, it's slippery. slipped. It went right out. Isn't that funny? Okay. Sorry. I don't know where it went. It's slippery. Did you say put your mind on silent? Yay. Amen. Yeah, well, apparently I wasn't successful at that because it's not coming back. All right, so let's go on and look at this more. The next thing I said here was I am greatly motivated to continue letting go the persona. Do you have recommendations based on living in the mystery? Okay, that brings it back. So let me tell you what I was going to say before I lose it again. Oh, it's so slippery. Why is it so slippery? Man. I got it. It's the this need to know. I mean, if you really look at the need to know, I need to know this. I need to be right about this. I need to know what's going to happen next. You know, I'm going to go Google everything I've ever seen. I'm going to run the mortgage, all that stuff I'm talking about with this house. That need to know and never really having all the answers, that the little person can't have all the answers, can't know what's going to happen. And yet it has this need to know. And that's the struggle. That's where suffering comes from. So really living in the mystery is grace. I mean, it's a gift. It's a release and a relief from suffering. Another thing that's come up, and I don't know if I talked about it last week, I don't know if it's in some of this earlier journaling, is the, I heard Regina say it in a recording the other night. It's none of my business is a great mantra. That's none of my business. You know, but will the house be sold before I get there and will I have enough money? And blah, 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 blah. It's none of my business. And what a gift is that? You know, and Holy Spirit, inner wisdom will give it to me on a need to know basis. And right this minute, I don't need to know. Regina says, yesterday when I went to order the sandbags, the lady behind the counter asked me, are you afraid of the flood? I looked and realized I can't be afraid of something that isn't here. I told her I couldn't predict how I might feel when the sirens go off. Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, and that's got to come from practice, right? With practice of being not only comfortable, but thrilled to be in the not knowing. You know, it's the realization that the needing to know is the cause of suffering. I'll tell you when I get there, or when the sirens go off. Okay, so I wrote, I'm greatly motivated to continue letting go of the persona. Do you have any recommendations based on living in the mystery, or any there's a desire right there, or any other practice that will help me move into the experience of that? And the response, remember to live also in gratitude and willingness. Looking at that for which you are grateful will help you see how the living of life is beyond you. You are not in control. All right, I'm going to read that sentence again. Okay, the practice is to live also in gratitude and willingness. Looking at that for which you are grateful will help you see how the living of life is beyond you. You are not in control. And I think that's really it's really sweet. Took me a second to get it. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to share it with you guys, because I might not go back and review this wisdom otherwise. Looking at that for which you are grateful will help you see how the living of life is beyond you. You are not in control. And actually, I went back and I was guided to go back and listen to some of my old as it is programs. And this whole not knowing and needing to know issue was there. But the recognition was also there that of this lack of control. It's like, you know, sometimes you might guess right, but you never really have any control over anything. You know, you might make the right motions, and then even when that's done, you don't know that that's what was best for you at the time. You know, you just know that these actions were taken and this seemed to be the result. So all the worrying that I've ever done has not, on any subject, has not benefited me or anybody else in any way. Nor has any control that I've tried to exert. Again, occasionally with a bunch of worrying and a bunch of research, I might have come up with the right answer. But, you know, it's like playing the lottery. You know, the odds are eventually, every now and then, you're going to be right. I mean, but taking concerted thought and then arriving at the right answer, it just seems like a cause and effect relationship. I have nothing to do with it. How do I know that's true? Because I know with every fiber of my being that there is no I here. I know that. And that's why I'm like, okay, tell me more. And I mean that with all my heart. Tell me more. So let me read some more. It says, looking at that for which you are grateful will help you see how the living of life is beyond you. You are not in control. Willingness reinforces your resolve, your gratitude, and your practice. As you all know, I'm very impressed with Eshwar Zibobin, and I'm excited to share his wisdom with you through our satsang that we're going to have in May. But he talks about that. He worked as an electrician, and you know, the guy's like, "What's that like?" He's not doing that anymore. But the guy's like, "That was interviewing. What's that like? I mean, you know, you're awake and you're still, you know, and you're not worried about if you put the things in the wrong place, what's going to happen, or you know, the contractor has to have this done by Friday. Am I going to get this done by Friday? That stuff still doesn't go through your head." And he said, "No, not really. It doesn't. You know, it just." You show up at the place and the stuff happens. You know, you're not controlling it. It's just things happen. And you just see it happen. And there was certainly, I actually remember it quite vividly. There was certainly a period in my life when Josh was a baby, and I think I talked about this period the other day, which would have been, 36 years ago. I had a very still mind. I was meditating almost all day, every day. But I had that same experience. Like, I remember a time seemed to expand, and I don't mean just one incident, but I mean, like, I could go work for hours and hours and hours. And it was like nothing happened at all. You know, I would go out and rake and do that sort of thing. And it was like, you know, I wasn't doing it and nothing actually happened at all. Really that feeling of being done through. Nothing was difficult. You know, again, it's like if you set it up, this is what needs to be done, and it needs to be done by this time. And work real hard at getting. You know, the inserting the I into that is the problem. Instead of just allowing it to be done. So again, I'm going to harp back to. What I heard Regina say about this consistent practice of watching awareness, being aware of awareness. She didn't say watching. She said you couldn't watch awareness. about how that's helpful to realizing that this is what's really going on, that there is no I, so there is no I that can be in control, and so there is no I that needs to manipulate facts or circumstances or people or to get from A to B. The stream of life moves from A to B. What I want to do is that's the recognition that I want to have. That's the recognition that's talked about here. Looking at that for which you are grateful will help you see how the living of life is beyond you. You know, you get to see just how things just show up. Not, oh boy, Jacqueline was successful in doing that. Oh shoot, she wasn't in doing that. I mean, it's an orientation. I asked, is there anything else you would have me know today? The response, you are blessed. Which is not, you know, it's not funny. The next sentence is what strikes me as funny. You do well to take things regarding the house one step at a time. The resolution of this issue will follow as you trust. Don't think. Don't obsess. Trust. So, you know, obviously, the whole point is it's all right on time. You know, everything that we're looking at again in General Healing Year One, saying the same thing, the Tao saying it, it's all the same thing. So I appreciate the consistent reminders across the board. So I'm going to move on to this next sharing journal. Actually, I'm backing up to like last week. I said, "What would you share with me today?" By who's? Oh, hey! I thought somebody was leaving. Hi, Francine. I heard you were coming. Cheryl, my sheets are still on that bed Francine usually sleeps in. anywho. All right, let me read this. What would you share with me today? I am ready to share with you the secret to your liberation. There is no you. Thus, liberation is gained by coming to see the truth of what I have said. And Irreverent Jacqueline said, well, that's all well and good. However, how does this coming to see the truth happen? Is there something I should be doing to assist in this process? And the answer, resting is the best thing for you to do. And I was thinking that a minute ago when I was telling you guys about my experience years, you know, 36 years ago. I mean, really, that's the best advice. That's advice Regina gave us a while ago. You know, cut out the stuff you can cut out so you can spend your time resting with your true self. Resting in awareness. So again, Inner Wisdom says resting is the best thing for you to do. In addition, your practice of being with what is, without definition or narration can be helpful. And, chattering mind. And this definition thing, this is something that Eshwar and I talked about. I had a phone call with him. It was really helpful. I don't know if we've talked about it before, but I feel to mention it now. So we're having this call, and he's like, you know, where are you? I'm in my living room. Are the colors there? Yes. He's like, okay, pick out a color and something colorful and tell me about it. And I'm like, well, it's red. And he's like, really? What's red? He's like, do you see how your mind defines these things so that you're once removed from the actual experience of it? You know, he's like, tell me more about red. And I'm like, well, it's not really, it's not like a fire engine red. It's more crimson. You know, it's no, that's not what I'm talking about. It's really getting to the direct experience of it instead of using the, and we talked about just for a second last night, a little bit in General Healing. You know, red is a shorthand for something. And so I go, shorthand. And then I go on to the next thing I'm doing, right? Red, blue, green, whatever. But I don't experience the red, you know? Or or softness, right? You know, I have that red blanket's really soft. So do I just, you know, go, yep, this is my soft blanket. You know, this is the blanket I use when I meditate. Or am I with it? Am I having the experience of it? So this definition thing keeps me once removed from my experience. At least once. My red soft blanket. And so I do well to remember that. Just like Regina's talking about, you know, seeing what sees the blanket. You know, just being aware that, you know, I don't want to try and reteach her teaching, but just being aware of the awareness that's here. And in that way, it's helpful to me. And I'm even noticing as I'm sitting here talking to you guys now, how soft my hands are. Normally, my hands are just my hands. They're the things I do things with, right? But if I sit here, I can feel it. It's really soft. So that's just being aware of the experience that I'm having while I'm having it is part of that same awareness, watching awareness. And it's the way to remove, apparently, I'm told, the way to remove that imaginary person that I've placed between me and experience. That imaginary person that I've placed between awareness and experience. It's the veil that A Course in Miracles talks about. I said, again, I asked, is there something I should be doing to assist in the process? And the response was, resting is the best thing for you to do. In addition, your practice of being with what is without definition or narration can be helpful. And really, that narration's a big one too, right? It's funny how much of what I do, and I assume it's true for other people, is narration. I shared a room with a woman when went on a group trip to Mexico once, and she narrated everything. She's like, man, now I'm taking this out. I mean, out loud. Oh, my God. But we do it. We really do it. So it's fun just to see what we do. But again, it's that veil, that barrier. And if you're not narrating what's going on this very minute, if you're still looking for it, you might look for where you're narrating the future. Oh, and then I need to go to the store, and then I need to buy that house, and then I need to whatever it is, right? It's still narration. Because the illusion that thinking about it is helpful is what we talked about a moment ago, that illusion of control is illusion. You're not going to control it. And if you do control it, you're not going to want what the result is. So looking at the future and thinking, well, then I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that. That's narration too. It's a narration of something that doesn't even exist. Talk about illusion. So again, resting is the best thing for you to do. In addition, your practice of being with what is without definition or narration can be helpful. And I said, what am I to do about the discomfort I feel? And the discomfort that I'm referring to is that, next stage, please. I said, I feel as if I have hit some kind of wall. It seems counterproductive, but I'm not sure about even that. How would you guide me? And the response, you are all that is and that which is. I don't know what that means. That seems a funny way to say it. You are all that is and that which is. Sound like I said the same thing twice. When you just be, you experience the all that is. This striving sensation, thought, is no different than any other. As a reflection of your willingness, it is to be celebrated. Nothing more than this is required. Let it and all other sensations be as they be. What have they to do with you? Come sit with me. We shall walk through this together, you and I. Listening to my voice and hearing it from your heart as your own will assist you in this stage of your journey. If you're sad, be sad. If you're mad, be mad. See thoughts, emotions, and sensations arise and fall. Watch them with me. Again, it's the emphasis here is on rest. Rest. And don't try and shove life around, right? The need to know the next step, whether it's on the spiritual path or in terms of where I'm going to be living in a month or two, that need to know is really not only the attempt to control life, but one and the same as the desire for a separate will, the desire for a separate self. When you just be, you experience the all that is. And I wondered about that first sentence, you are all that is and that which is, which again, I thought was a weird phrasing of that, but it seems to me that it's a description of, well, oneness. That this seeming independent existence may be experienced as independent to some extent. Because, for example, I don't see through Regina's eyes or Shauna's eyes. But that anything that I'm experiencing can't be other than me. And then again, come sit with me. We shall walk through this together, you and I. And this is a very interesting sentence. Listening to my voice and hearing it from your heart as your own will assist you in this stage of your journey. And it seems to me that what's being discussed here is that merging that we're often that's often talked about in NTI. Well, gosh, in fact, we talked about that week before last. I can't remember what we were reading. Galatians, maybe. Yeah, Galatians. That talked about that exactly, the exact same thing. Not only am and Regina was saying that she heard the personality of Jesus in Galatians. But not only am I do I have the same? Do we all have the same? Is Jesus, you know, but not do we just have that we are the same, you know, it's exactly what I think what Regina was talking about a while ago. It's not just that we all have the same characteristics or desires. But that we literally are the same. You know, there's a continuity there. Not like we're all just alike. No. There's no division. And given there's no division in the oneness, how could it be that inner wisdom is something other than me? And I think that that's what's being pointed to here. Listening to my voice and hearing it from your heart as your own will assist you in this stage of your journey. And again, I start out going, I want to get this. So I think that that's helpful to keep in mind. Oh my goodness, look at the time. All right, and then let me just read this last little paragraph. It's on the same. I was really feeling stuck that day because I said, Father, I feel stuck. What would you say to me about feeling stuck? And the response, first, as you are well aware, this is generally a good thing. It means that you have let go your grip on the beliefs that you have adopted that have brought you to this point in your understanding. Rather than feeling stuck, and that's good, you know. it's interesting. Stuck actually kind of means like in this limbo. Rather than feeling, you know, because I'm no longer complaining. Okay, I got it. Yeah, I know I got it. I know what's going on. It's like I know there's more. I know there's more. Rather than feeling stuck when you feel this sensation, it may be helpful to begin to see yourself as empty. This is the truth of the matter. Embrace that emptiness. Rejoice in it. Without being empty, you cannot be filled. You will be filled with knowledge of the all that is. Breathe and wait in peace for all things to occur as they occur. And again, I just say real quick before we're through that it just, you know, it's again, I want to feel safe. I want to feel safe, right? So I want these things in place so I feel safe. And it's about stepping into the mystery. It's about stepping into the flow of life. That's the emptiness, stepping into the I don't knowness. So it's all the same message. So you will be filled with knowledge of the all that is. Breathe and wait in peace for all things to occur as they occur. All right, I'm done. I love you. Thank you. See you next time.